Good afternoon, and welcome to our opening convocation of the 1981-82 academic year. The beginning of another year is always an exciting time as we welcome new faculty and staff, begin our preparations for the year ahead, and anticipate the arrival on campus in a week or so of new and continuing students. The beginning of this academic year is especially significant for the University of Alaska Fairbanks as we welcome our new chancellor. Dr. Patrick J. O'Rourke has been on the job since August 3rd, and I can assure you he has lost no time in getting down to business. As the former chancellor of community colleges, rural education, and extension for our statewide system, he brings to his new position a familiarity with the university system that has allowed him to begin his new job running, and he hasn't slowed down yet. Following this convocation, there will be an informal reception in the Great Hall, directly behind the auditorium, at which you'll have a chance to meet and begin to get acquainted with Chancellor O'Rourke. I urge you to linger a while following the convocation, or if the crowd is too large, you may wish to leave and then come back. The chancellor will be here, he says, until the last person disappears. And now it's a great privilege and pleasure to introduce our new chancellor, Dr. Patrick J. O'Rourke. Pat.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The last person shows how hungry I am for company. Most of you have been quite kind to me in the first few weeks, thinking that I would be inundated with visitors from all parts of the campus. What you misunderstood was that everyone was thinking exactly the same way, and so there haven't been all that many. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm most pleased to join you as a member of the University of Alaska Fairbanks and to extend my welcome to you for the 1981-82 academic year. This year, some of you may know and some of you may not, will complete the 60th year, the end of the sixth decade of existence for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Some of you can look back over portions of this history. I don't think there's anyone here who can look back over all of it and measure the advances that have actually been made. Throughout this next decade, you must share with us your knowledge of what worked and what didn't work so that we are able to build upon the knowledge and advances of the past as well as our prognostications for the future. In general, let me explain how I'd like to proceed with the convocation today. I have some general remarks that I'd like to make. Then I've asked Vice Chancellor Bennett to address the FY82 budget. I generally seek to try to enter into dialogues, but I also realize this is our first convocation this year. But feel free, following my remarks and following Dr. Bennett's remarks, to address questions to either of us. We had also wanted to have Peter McCroy, president of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Assembly, with us today to talk about the assembly. Unfortunately for us, probably fortunately for Peter, he has not yet returned from Australia. It is my hope, however, that we will have a number of convocations throughout the year, and that increasingly these will take the form of dialogues. I need to know firsthand what your concerns and issues are, and I think that you need to know firsthand what some of my views on these issues might be, so that the mutual process of shaping each other's ideas and behaviors might begin to take place. I must tell you that I am truly a believer in the concept of synergy, whereby the product of the individual energies working in congruence far exceed the sum of the individual parts. Let me emphasize that notion of congruence, for I find it essential to the development, to our development as an institution. We must reduce any internal friction in order to optimize our performance as a whole. I seek to work toward this end, but I also recognize that congruence can be approached only if all constituent parts have an opportunity to have their views heard. I will try to work toward this particular process. Administrations in general, and perhaps administrators in particular, have a general tendency to receive input from faculty and staff, but then never report back. Beginning today, we would like to try to reverse this process, and again, toward this end, Vice Chancellor Bennett will share with you a general rundown of the FY82 budget and a listing of new budgeted increments approved by the policy and budget team which he chairs. In a future convocation, in approximately a month or so, we will address our FY83 request and provide you with all of the information relative to this that we can. In addition to the convocations, I plan to review each of the colleges, schools, and institutes in the next month or so in some degree of depth in order to obtain a more intimate knowledge of your programs and activities. And I hope that your deans will continue to extend to me throughout the year periodic invitations to meet with them, department heads, and faculties of their schools and colleges. As I prepared my remarks for this afternoon, I did question myself as to what a new chancellor, who's been on the job a sum total of only 3 weeks, could knowledgeably say to his faculty and staff. The key word here is knowledgeably. In one sense, I'm humble enough to say, not very much. However, in another sense, because of my newness and freshness to this campus, perhaps my initial impressions will serve to raise some valid questions toward which we might address over the course of this year. The first of these is somewhat of a fun problem, and that is accommodating our increasing growth in enrollment. To date, we have received, this is as of August 21st, 3,165 applications. We have accepted 2,123. This compares with 1980, a year ago, at this time, or actually a week earlier, on the 15th of August, we had received 2,669 applications and had acceptances totaling 1,882. The late applications office has received 92 applications and has 35 acceptances. As you probably are aware from reading the newspaper, we have a major problem in student housing, where we're currently at 113% of occupancy. Needless to say, these figures have a number of ramifications. How many additional sections will be necessary? What additional faculty will be required? Classrooms, labs, dorms, etc. We must improve our enrollment projections in the future and tie them much more closely to our planning process. And we must deal with these on both a long-term and short-term basis. Long-term, additional faculty and facilities are indeed required, and we will request these. However, I believe in the service orientation of the land-grant university and feel that we must make strong efforts to accommodate those students who meet our admissions requirements. Toward this end, then, we reopened the admissions process in August, and we must now plan to accommodate even greater numbers next year. Relative to student housing, we must find a way to enlist the assistance of the private sector, for although we are requesting in FY83 a 240-bed complex, we are at least 3 years away from having such complex ready for occupancy. We must look carefully at our class scheduling, for although our utilization of existing facilities is fair, our space utilization study, which was completed last year, shows a number of hours of the day, and I'm sure you can guess which, that are underutilized, normally pre-9:30 a.m. and post 3:30 p.m. Additionally, a study performed by the Legislative Research Agency approximately a year ago revealed that this campus had, with the exception of a few rural units, the highest cost per FTE of any college or university in the University of Alaska system. I ask that rather than raise an immediate defense, we must analyze and look at these figures to determine why this is the case and use this data as well as others that we can all bring to bear to make honest judgments about ourselves. We must look at those units that are experiencing growth and assure that we maintain and improve our quality while at the same time improving our efficiency. Secondly, we must acknowledge that our research units are experiencing some considerable stress and turbulence due to the uncertainty of federal support. Currently, 80% of our research effort is supported by the federal government, and yet much of our Arctic research has particular relevance to the state of Alaska as it begins to set public policy. For that research which is vital to Alaska, we must also improve our state support so that our research activities truly support our institutional purposes for being, rather than our research activities being so dollar-driven and determined by federal grants and contracts that we inadvertently broaden our mission beyond that which we carefully and cognitively determined it to be. Toward this end, I would also call your attention to a piece of legislation which was entered in Congress in July by Senator Murkowski called the Arctic Research Policy Bill. Copies of this will be printed in our biweekly newsletter in the near future, and we will be putting together a task force to address Senator Murkowski's bill. Third, our summer program, while improved, is not overly exciting. Frankly, I guess I must admit, I found the month of August somewhat dull in terms of the degree of activity on campus. I think we must look quite closely at a trimester system in addition to our special summer sessions, and given our natural environment, we can become a splendid place for summer study, and over time, hopefully, find a way to contract with faculty for 2 out of 3 trimesters. Fourth, we are not doing the job in the education and development of Alaskan Native leadership. In almost 2 decades, our progress appears minimal, and yet these are our people who depend upon this institution almost solely. Some preliminary facts indicate the following. One, in 1963, 81% of Alaskan Native students left the University of Alaska Fairbanks and did not re-enroll. In 1975, 12 years later, 75% left without re-enrolling, a gain of only 6% in over a dozen years. In 1963, 12% of Native freshmen entered with ACT scores of 10 or below. In the late 70s, 55% of entering Native freshmen had scores of 10 or below. Evidently, we are not attracting the academically talented Alaskan Native student. We must ask ourselves why and find ways to improve. In the late 60s and early 70s, the number of Alaskan Native students receiving bachelor's degrees from the University of Alaska Fairbanks increased dramatically. However, in the late 70s, that number has further declined. Ladies and gentlemen, we must reestablish a commitment and find a way to improve this picture. Regional Native corporations as a group make up the single largest segment of Alaska's private economy. Let us not condemn them to failure by turning our backs on their requests and pleas for a competently trained and educated leadership. Improved recruitment and retention is called for, along with short-term, high-level management workshops and seminars for the existing leadership. Fifth, it appears that we have a number of minor international activities underway, but that we have not addressed on an institutional policy level what the University of Alaska Fairbanks ought to be doing in the international arena. Alaska is in a key position economically in the world market. We have some natural ties with Asian nations and some common problems with other northern latitude countries. Let us, over the course of this year, examine our institutional purpose and potential role in international education. Sixth, a number of faculty issues need to be addressed. Faculty have indicated to me that they seek more viable involvement in the decision-making process. For the most part, my initial review seems to indicate that mechanisms are in place to deal with these issues. Thus, I need your help in better identifying the problem. Are the mechanisms poor? Do they need to be changed? Do we fail to use them adequately? Do we not address vital issues? And if so, why not? Do we in the administration fail to raise with you as faculty these vital issues? Do you as faculty debate them ad infinitum so that no resolution is ever possible? I look forward to an early meeting with the Assembly in order to address some of these issues. In the meantime, let me present a general operating philosophy. I do not wish to respond to proposals from the statewide administration on faculty issues. I wish this campus to take a leadership position across the system in addressing problems and proposing solutions which might then be implemented because of our lead, not because we have followed. If we are in a reactive rather than an advocacy posture as it relates to faculty issues, we have no one but ourselves to blame. Let us take the lead in addressing concurrent rank, promotion, and evaluation. And speaking of evaluation, I am pleased to report that the planning is well underway to implement a new system for gathering student assessment of teaching effectiveness beginning in the spring semester of 1982, not this fall, but next spring. Over the past three semesters, most of you are aware that various committees of the Fairbanks Assembly have examined the current assessment system, student assessment system, together with a number of alternatives. That work culminated in a recommendation last May that the University of Alaska Fairbanks adopt a new system based in part on one developed and tested over a 10-year period by Purdue University. The Purdue system is being modified following the Assembly's recommendations to meet the unique needs of the University of Alaska Fairbanks while retaining the system's own unique features. The ability of an individual faculty member to select a portion of the questions to fit the unique circumstances of every class that he or she teaches. This is the particularly interesting feature of this system. During the fall semester, Vice Chancellor Bennett's office will be asking you as individual faculty to participate in selecting the questions that will comprise the core of questions common to the faculty at the university, school, or college and department level. Gathering student assessments of teaching effectiveness is clearly only one of several means of assessing an individual's capabilities. It is my hope that the Fairbanks Assembly will pursue its unfinished business, that of establishing an advisory committee to examine all means by which we might assess our improved effectiveness. And I would call upon that assembly to also address means of assessing administrative effectiveness. Seventh, our physical image is somewhat tarnished, and this in turn tarnishes even further our morale and our ability to attract students. I suppose most of you have noticed by now the fact that in front of almost every entrance on this campus, we are now constructing a series of handicapped entrances and a variety of things like that. I know that many of you think this is a continuing administrative plot against faculty and students, and for all I know, it might be, but I do not think so. I think it is due to our own ineptness at the present time. We now have available to us approximately $350,000 for grounds beautification, and highest priority is being given to the Constitution Park area. Toward this end, I need to form a user committee, and before the snow flies next winter, I pledge to you the removal of the eyesore outside our doors here. However, our problems go further, and frankly, I guess I am embarrassed to bring students into some of our dormitories a week from now. This past Thursday, I took a general overview of the entire campus facility, was on every floor of virtually every building, so I would have at least on a superficial level some firsthand knowledge. And in some areas, it's rather bleak. To some extent, our overbooking of the dormitories will probably take care of itself, for some of our units appear to be dangerous to both the social and emotional health of our students, and they will quickly leave them. I do not mean this as a criticism of any particular department, for in the area of student services and student housing, I am fully aware that some superhuman efforts have gone into offsetting our lack of aesthetics. It is, however, a criticism of ourselves as an institution that we have allowed things to deteriorate to this extent, and for whatever reason, and the general reason proffered is lack of funds. But I stand before you today in a public declaration that this picture will change. While it is only a trickle of what needs to be done, I have committed to student services and student housing $50,000 to immediately provide some furnishings for the common areas of the upper dorms, which are in absolutely tragic shape. Additionally, I have spoken to Basil Hedrick of the museum about extending the concept of the museum to the establishment of many exhibits and displays throughout the campus. Before this year is out, we expect to have 25 such displays in place across our various buildings. I would like to do the same thing with faculty and student artwork. My understanding, although I haven't spoken to him, is that Stan Zielinski has some similar desires in this area, and I look forward to an early meeting with him regarding this. Towards similar general overall improvements, I have additionally charged Karen Setso, Director of Public Affairs, with heading an image campaign to improve not only our physical surroundings, but the general morale and esprit de corps of faculty, staff, and students. I seek your participation. I need your help and assistance in this campaign. Eighth, administrivia. Why does it take so many hands, so many pieces of paper, and so many signatures to get even the simplest of tasks accomplished here? That's a question. I don't have the answer yet. However, were I to allow it to continue, I could fully spend 2 hours a day doing nothing but signing my signature to documents, 75% of which do not provide me any basis for decision. That's a rather foolish type of process to be engaged in, and I refuse to allow it to continue. I am immediately beginning the decentralization of many of these. Further, by October 1st, the personnel office will have a 5-day turnaround on all position evaluations. Additionally, I am asking Dean Bill Phillips of the School of Management to conduct an efficiency review and to make recommendations to me for the overall improvement in our management and streamlining of our procedures. This will be a good test of how well we teach management to our students. Additionally, I expect attitudinal changes in our commitment to affirmative action and clear recognition of our need to improve our posture in hiring. The hiring agent, by the way, not the affirmative action officer in my particular point of view, is the one are the ones responsible for assuring that this improvement occurs. Ninth, perhaps what I consider to be the most pressing problem facing us is the lack of identity. That is, an identity as the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Our mission is not the U of A mission. We are but a part, albeit a major and important part, of this mission. In my view, this identity crisis exists because less than 10 years ago, the University of Alaska Fairbanks was the University of Alaska, and we have not yet fully made this transition. As a result of this identity crisis, This campus hasn't stressed and put forward its own unique strengths. Actually, I think we are even having difficulty defining these unique strengths and features, and therefore we are not capitalizing upon them. What we must come to fully realize and accept is that this is the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the statewide residential campus of the University of Alaska system, the seat of organized research in this system. The University of Alaska Anchorage and the University of Alaska Juneau are not just branch operations of this campus, but all three of us are co-equal parts, along with the community colleges, of a statewide system of higher education. Connected with this is a reality, folks, and that is that those campuses, as well as the community colleges, are competing with us for a finite set of financial resources. You might wish to believe that because of the state's wealth, these resources are infinite. This is a myth, and as quickly as we can dispel this, the better off we will be, because in reality, the governor and the legislature will make a political determination as to how much is going to be spent upon higher education in any given year. Its internal disbursement, then, becomes a competitive process, and therefore our product, our education, and our research must be better, must be more effective, and it must be more efficient to justify solid and increased support. There are those who believe that because we are the most established campus in the system, that we need less of the new resources available each year. From my brief observations so far, it appears that this campus has been held in check so that other less developed units might progress. As a result, we have some critical shortages in a number of areas: instructional equipment, professional travel for faculty. The continuing accreditations of some of our professional schools have been followed very closely by professional accrediting associations, indicating less than full confidence in our quality. Ladies and gentlemen, we must assure that what we are currently doing, we are doing well before embarking on new paths. But we also have a need to focus more to determine whether or not we ought to be doing all that we are currently doing. And we must also have the courage to say, no, this is not within our mission. Therefore, let us shift the resources to greater needs. I call upon all of you to assist in this process of further delineating and clarifying our role, in translating this role to our general public, and in using our resources to their fullest potential. I shall be establishing action groups to address many of these areas over the course of this year. And I do indeed need your help. From my particular vantage point at the present time, I think it's going to be a great year and an even better decade. Thank you. Before we go into some budget presentations, I'd like to just appraise new faculty of some particular events happening this week. For those faculty members who have joined us since the beginning of last year, please note that Tuesday afternoon, August 25th, at 1:30 p.m. in Allison Hall, the Office of Student Affairs will conduct a workshop focusing on a profile of the University of Alaska Fairbanks student. I hope that you will also include the range of students within that, Harris. Immediately following this workshop, Vice Chancellor Bennett will conduct a tour of selected campus facilities and services available to UAF faculty. The tour group will leave from Eielson, room 311, at 2:55 p.m. and will include brief stops at the library, Bunnell Building, Media Services, Greening Building, Bookstore, and the museum. The campus tour will be followed by a reception for these faculty at Dr. and Mrs. Bennett's home. Each new faculty member should by now have received an invitation to participate in these activities. If you have not seen yours, or if there are any questions, please contact Dr. Bennett. We encourage you to take advantage of these activities tomorrow and hope that you find them useful and enjoyable. I would like to run through a list of new people who are with us today and ask them to stand, and if you would maybe hold applause until we can at least identify who these new folks are. It struck us that over the course of the year, sure, we hand out a list, but you don't necessarily know who the faces are. So I am going to read through a list of new people, and I do apologize because Geophysical Institute people are missing, but I would like to ask these individuals to stand. Don Carling, Assistant Professor of Horticulture. Robert Cullum, Assistant Professor of Agricultural Engineering. Carl Kurtz, Assistant Professor of Agricultural Education. Bruno Dzieciko, Assistant Professor of Music. Sister Juliana Lucy, Visiting Assistant Professor of Mathematics. Stephanie Marcus, Visiting Instructor of Photojournalism. Victoria Messner, Assistant Professor of German. Tony Strong, Assistant Professor of Alaska Native Studies and Political Science. Dana Thomas, Assistant Professor of Statistics. From conferences and institutes, we have John Hickey, Head of Staff Development Programs. Carolyn Haynes, coming from the North Slope Borough. From the College of Environmental Sciences, John Smithisler, Marine Technician. Frank Summer, Programming and Data Processing Supervisor. David Boisseau, Marine Technician. Any of these folks here? John Taylor, Associate Professor, School of Management. Carl Orn, Visiting Associate Professor, School of Management. Andrew Hageman, Assistant Professor, School of Management. Mary Lindahl, Assistant Professor, School of Management. Warren Jones, Assistant Professor, School of Management. John Lindsay, Visiting Assistant Professor, School of Management. Richard Wood, Director of Continuing Studies and Associate Professor, School of Management. KUAC, we have Charles McConnell as Program Manager. In Student Affairs, we have Barbara Wallant, Resident Advisor. Mark Van Rijn, Resident Advisor. Mitchell Piaz, Resident Advisor. From the School of Education, Eugene Adam, Assistant Professor and Field Coordinator. James Grieg, Assistant Professor and Field Coordinator, Galena. Barbara Harrison, Assistant Professor and Field Coordinator, Bethel. Jerry Lipka, Assistant Professor and Field Coordinator, Dillingham. And Richard Rydell, Assistant Professor. From the School of Engineering, we have James Malash, Associate Professor. Kin-Chu Wu, Associate Professor. And again from the College of Environmental Sciences, Robert Thorson, Assistant Professor. William Procunier, Research Associate. Wendy Arendelle. Raymond Hadley. Susan Henricks, Walter Johnson, George Kiput, and from the Office of the Chancellor, my assistant, Wendy Redman. Would all of you please stand? Let us see who you are, if you're here in the audience. And those of you who are old, let us welcome you. Larry, let me turn it over to you.
The purpose of my remarks now is twofold. First, I want to give an overview of the results of the budgeting process for 1981-82, the year that we're just beginning. And second, I shall review the planning and budgeting process that led to the presentation of this campus's request for next year. First, let me call your attention to the first two pages of the handout material listing the additional amounts that have been added to our budget for the 1981-82 fiscal year. On the first page, the left-hand column indicates the priority that was assigned by the Board of Regents among all incremental requests throughout the statewide system to those items that eventually were approved for this current fiscal year. And you will see this is broken down into University of Alaska Fairbanks and organized research. The two are budgeted separately. In addition, at the bottom of the University of Alaska Fairbanks list on the first page, there are three items that were not part of the official request. Those amounts for Alaska Native Studies, student typewriters in the library, and teacher training for rural Alaska. These items were the result of actions taken by the legislature. The total of the increments for the University of Alaska Fairbanks on page one is $1,148,000. And the total for organized research is $383,000. Now, these are general fund increments. That is, those amounts are funded with state funds. Then the second page indicates additional amounts that have been funded through non-state monies for 1981-82. For your information, the sources in the left-hand column are defined as follows. SF stands for student fees, and the first six items there funded through student fees total about $145,000. They are additional amounts for instruction that have been added due to anticipated increases in student fee income. Then PR is program receipts, OH stands for overhead recovery, and IA is a state budgeting term for interagency transfers, in our case, interdepartmental transfers. That those total on page two some $2,848,000. The legislative budgeting process this year was an interesting one. If you were not here this summer, you may not be aware that the State House and its Finance Committee were substantially reorganized late in the session, one result being a reduction in the amount the university expected to have appropriated for this year. Nonetheless, overall, the University of Alaska Fairbanks received an increase in its budget of 14.2% of state support compared to the 1980-81 fiscal year. That figure includes increases for inflation and for the new activities and programs that we've previously mentioned. The next handout shows the total budget for our campus for this year, including research and instruction and public service. And I think this breakdown is helpful. For example, you will see that physical plant is over $10 million. This may appear excessive. You might be interested, for example, that we spend $2.1 million on coal to run our heating plant and generate our electricity. The general administration category includes Chancellor's office, the relocation monies that we have for relocation and recruitment, the public affairs office, and the Chancellor's contingency fund. And then the next page shows the budget for instruction and academic support for each of our units. We've taken the total for instruction and academic support, some $24,449,000. And broken that down by unit and by various object categories, the totals, and then personal services that include salaries and staff benefits, and then the other categories shown there by unit. And then for organized research, the same sort of breakdown by unit. Again, breaking it out by object codes, personal services, and then the other categories. And finally, there's a list of capital budget items that have been approved. The title to this didn't print very well. It should say Capital Budget Requests Approved for 1981-82, University of Alaska, Fairbanks. These are the ones that have been approved and will be funded by direct appropriation monies. Let me point out a couple things, if I may. Item 11 is LV Building Addition for Research. We can't do that for $500,000. That's planning money. Money for planning and initial design, preliminary design for the addition to the LV building, which is now estimated to cost about $17 million and will be part of the request for FY83. Also in item 12, one of those items says dormitory design. That's $500,000 to begin the design and planning for a student residence hall. Again, that request for the full facility or full funding for that facility will be in the next year's request. Since there is no general election this year, there are no general obligation bond issues being proposed. So these are direct appropriation funds that have been approved for UAF for this year. Now, let me turn to a discussion of the process that led to the formulation of the budget request for the 1982-83 year, the year that will begin next summer. This planning cycle began last fall with the convening of the UAF Planning Council. The council includes 9 faculty members, 4 deans, 2 vice chancellors, and 1 each representatives of the Office of Admissions and Records, Facilities Planning, and Alumni. Council first reviewed and revised the UAF mission statement, and it then reviewed the UAF planning assumptions, those assumptions about the conditions and constraints within which our planning must take place. Things like student enrollments, community needs, state of Alaska needs, resources available to support the institution, and so forth. We decided that the planning assumptions that had been adopted a year earlier would suffice for this planning cycle as well. The council's next task was to coordinate the development of planning goals and objectives. Individual schools and colleges and other parallel units were asked to develop planning goals for a 6-year period, the 1981 to 87 year or period, and then to develop specific objectives for the 1982-83 year. These planning guidelines were accomplished based on goals and objectives of the several departments and programs within the schools, colleges, and other units. And then these unit goals and objectives formed the basis for 13 campus-wide planning goals for 1981-87, and a total of 65 specific objectives for 1982-83. Let me just give you one example. Planning goal number 2 for this 6-year period is stated as follows. We shall concentrate on the further development of upper division and graduate studies programs and enhance the reputation of UAF as a center for advanced studies in selected disciplines. That's one of those 13 planning goals. Within that goal, there are 8 objectives for the 1982-83 year that we hope to achieve in addressing that overall goal. As examples, as samples of the objectives within that, let me just read 3 of them. One is provide first-rate and environmentally pertinent research opportunities and advanced studies for graduate students, theses, and dissertations. Another one is obtain support for a substantial increase in graduate student assistantships. Another is identify disciplines where new graduate programs would be responsive to Alaska needs for development of human or technical resources and provide appropriate support to such programs. That's just a sample of the goals and objectives for UAF that were developed in this process. The result of this whole process was combined into a document titled the University of Alaska Fairbanks Planning and Budget Guide for 1981. The guide includes that revised mission statement, the planning assumptions, the UAF planning goals for 1981-87, the UAF objectives for 1982-83, and all of the unit goals and objectives. This whole effort was coordinated by Professor John Gilmore, chair of the UAF Planning Council, and members of the council, and I especially want to acknowledge John's good work in putting all this together. He really did a fine job. The other organization, or the other group we need to talk about, is the UAF Policy and Budget Team. This is a group that's responsible to the chancellor for all of our planning and budgeting activities. It consists of 3 deans, 2 vice chancellors, the chair of the planning council, representative of the assembly, representative of ASUA student government, and 1 from organized research and 1 from admissions and records. First, the policy and budget team accepted the mission statement, planning assumptions and goals and objectives, which had been developed by the planning council, and determined that these would be used in the preparation of the 82-83 budget request. At Chancellor Cutler's direction, the first step in the actual budget preparation process was a continuation level review. Basically, we were asked this: if we were to receive only the same funding level in 1982-83 as in 1981-82, are there some shifts or changes that should be made in the way we allocate our funding? The process involved each unit's identifying 5% of its budget that it would give up if it had to. Then the units were asked to submit a ranked list of new program requests, which could include items included in the 5% that was given up. And the policy and budget team then developed an overall ranking of those requests and simply went down the list as far as it could until it ran out of that 5% funding. In most cases, the amounts that units contributed as their 5% were matched by monies added in that second step. Some shifts did occur, however. Of about $1,700,000 that was offered up for review and then reallocated, instructional areas received about $62,000 more than they had contributed. Campus Recreation Athletics lost about $13,000. The Library and Media Services gained about $100,000. And the Physical Plant and Public Affairs Offices lost about $149,000. The result of this exercise is the 1982-83 continuation level budget, to which, hopefully, additional monies will be added by next year's session of the legislature. The next step was to ask colleges and schools and other units to prepare increment requests for additional funding. These were presented by each unit in priority order. The policy and budget team then met to consider their requests, and the team eliminated some of the requests, packaged the rest into some 30 packages. These packages, along with the continuation level budget and a whole bunch of justification, became the official UAF request for 1982-83. The magnitude of the numbers involved here goes something like this. The total request from the several units of our campus, everything that the colleges and schools and other units requested, including the research function, was $24,229,000 of new money, over $24 million in new money for 82-83. The policy and budget team reduced this amount almost exactly in half and sent forward as the UAF request a list of additional needs totaling $12,080,000. Then the statewide policy and budget team that consists of the 4 chancellors, the executive vice president, the associate vice president for finance, the president of the statewide assembly, and the academic vice president as chairperson, considered all budget requests, made further reductions that will result in an overall system-wide request for an increase of about 15% over the current year. At the present time, the UAF request for 1982-83 totals just about $5 million of new monies for instruction, research, and service. Let me mention the capital budget request for next year. This request is somewhat further along than the operating budget request and is in essentially final form to be presented to the Board of Regents. Among the major projects which will be proposed to the Regents as general obligation bond projects that total some $154 million statewide, there is a request for $17 million for the Elvey Building addition, which you mentioned before, and $10 million for a student housing complex for UAF. as well as a statewide services building to be located in Fairbanks, $15 million, and $24 million for a facility for the Tanana Valley Community College. When completed, all these projects will substantially relieve some of the great pressures for space that we at UAF are experiencing. In addition, UAF requests for direct appropriations that have survived the process so far include about $1 million for instructional equipment, $527,000 for research equipment, code deficiency corrections of $2 million, a water treatment facility completion of $650,000, completion of the Seward Marine Station for $2.5 million, work at the Homer Research Center, $675,000, renovation of the student residence halls, $1 million, building repairs and renovation, $2 million, a coal handling facility for $1,200,000, KUAC ventilation system for $665,000, an annex for the computer system at the LV building, $500,000, and KUAC instructional telecommunications studio completion for $206,000. Also, there's a request that totals $2 million in the statewide request for master planning and preliminary design, of which UAF is to receive $1 million if that is approved. You'll be interested, I'm sure, that the several UAF units requested a total for the capital budget of some $390 million in capital projects for 1982-83. The UAF policy and budget team reduced this figure to something over $128 million, and the projects that are currently in the request, which I just read to you, total some $39,898,000. Well, that should give you some idea of where we stand in regard to both the fiscal 82 budget, which we're just beginning, and the fiscal year 83 budget, which will be considered by the legislature this spring. As the Chancellor has said, at the next convocation early this fall, we intend to present further details and an update on the status of the budget request for next year. Thank you.
I feel the need to point out a few clarifications. Under the organized research component, you recognize, of course, that that is not state general fund money for the most part. Certainly well over 80% of it is non-state sources. Some of the figures are projected, not real, as opposed to the teaching section of the budget. In other words, this is what is anticipated yet in grants and contracts. I want you to put in perspective for a moment the capital request for FY83. We have two projects in there. The second priority for the entire system, the LV building addition, $17 million. The fourth priority for the entire system, and that's student housing, $10 million request. 12 projects total $154 million. The largest bond ever approved for the University of Alaska system was, I believe, in the neighborhood of $46,000. $46 million. Change all of that to millions. We're going to have a great deal of work to yet convince the board, the governor, and the legislature that these projects are worth support, and we'll ask and call upon you to assist. There is one other person I would like to introduce, and that is my wife, Charla Ranch. Charla? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. We wish you a very, very good year, and I'll look forward to meeting and talking with you individually out in the hall.